Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Harbin, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
My friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way, Merry Christmas Eve. Happy Hanukkah. We're right in the middle of the Hanukkah holidays, and winter solstice is upon us, all the various holidays converging. Here in Portland, in Portland, Oregon, we are still socked in. In fact, we're getting another, might be as much as 8 inches of snow today. The global warming is falling all around us, as the cynics are saying. I'm saying, yeah, it is the global warming, actually. It's the more severe storms are the logical consequence of increased heat and atmosphere. Heat and moisture in the atmosphere, so shouldn't be surprised. But anyway, it's getting grim out there, and a lot going on. A lot going on in the news today, which we will be getting to in just a few minutes. Three cocoa products, for example, that we're discovering melamine. Yes, that awful chemical from China in our food supply. Yeah, it's happening. And President Bush pardons a Brooklyn real estate developer. We'll tell you about that. Jobless claims. We have now hit officially the level that Reagan hit in late 82 after his massive tax cuts so badly damaged the U.S. economy and before all of his spending on Star Wars put a small dent in that, I suppose. But we're almost as bad, or we are now officially as bad, the economy, as it was under Reagan. Congresswoman Diana DeGette is with us. She is a Democrat from Colorado and one of the real experts on health care and health care issues here in the United States. Congresswoman, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Thank you. It's great to have you with us. I'm sorry I don't have in my notes here what committees you're on or that may involve you, or what your involvement has been in with this.
I'm the vice chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which has jurisdiction over health care, and I'm the co-chair of the Pro-Choice Caucus in Congress.
Great, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. The Bush administration has done a last minute gotcha, and I know in their minds this was to allow pharmacists who are opposed to abortion to be able to refuse to give out, for example, RU486, or those pharmacists who are opposed to birth control to be able to refuse to give out birth control pills. But this is so broadly written, this so-called conscience protection. Tell me if I'm right on this. My reading of this is that if a clerk, you know, the person who rings up your purchase in a pharmacy, is a Christian Scientist, which is a fine and noble religion for which I have a lot of respect, but Christian Scientists don't by and large believe in taking medicine, or Seventh-day Adventists, for example, don't believe in taking drugs generally. And I were to show up and say, I'm here to pick up my antibiotics because I've got an infection in my foot from stepping on a nail last week, and the pharmacist fills the prescription and hands it to the clerk, and the clerk could say to me, I'm going to refuse to ring this up and give you these drugs because it's against my religion.
Well, that's right. I mean, this new rule that was promulgated last minute by the Bush administration, ironically, it takes effect on January 20th, the day of the inauguration of the new president. What it says is that any employee of a healthcare entity can refuse to provide any medical treatment because of religious grounds. Now, right before this rule, the law has always been, under the civil rights laws, if an employee has a religious objection to something, then their employer has to make reasonable accommodation. So if that clerk was a Christian Scientist, they could go to their employer and say, you know, my religion is against filling these prescriptions, and the employer would have to find somebody else to fill the prescription.
Put that person on the candy counter.
Right, exactly. But here what happens is any employee can make that decision any time for any reason, and it's left up to them. And so let's say the clerk, the checker at Walgreens looks at somebody, you know, somebody trying to buy some birth control pills and says, you know, I think my religion is against unmarried people having birth control pills, so I'm not going to ring them up. And what I'm really, that seems like a ridiculous example, but what I'm really worried about is health care in rural areas and in underserved communities, like minority communities, where they don't have a lot of access.
There are not a lot of choices other places to go. And,
exactly.
And it sounds like an absurd idea, but it's actually happened. I mean, these kind of scenarios have actually played themselves out in the United States over the last couple of years, which is one of the reasons why this has become such a politically charged issue.
Well, and you know, we need to remember here, all of these drugs we're talking about and this medical treatment is perfectly legal.
Right, yeah.
So it's not like we're asking them to do something illegal.
Well, and here's where it gets even weirder, because it's not limited just to being able to pass out birth control pills or RU-486. For example, if a physician or a nurse in a federally funded hospital was in the emergency room and somebody came in a victim of rape, that person could simply decide not to tell them that there is a pill that they can take right now that will prevent them from getting pregnant from that rape. Alternatively, if somebody came to a federally funded clinic, who wants to keep their baby, and an ultrasound indicated that this baby had some terrible gross deformity that was going to, you know, limit its life to the first few months after birth or something like that, they could refuse to tell. They could simply make the choice not to tell the pregnant woman that she was carrying a child with that kind of an abnormality because of their concern that that woman might then choose to abort that baby.
That's right, and that does happen. In fact, a couple of weeks ago on one of the cable TV news shows, I actually saw a doctor sit there and say he would refuse to tell women coming to him at the emergency room about the morning after pill. And we always hear about this anecdotally, but it was really chilling for me to see somebody sit there and say that he was going to play God with a rape victim. I mean, that to me is just unacceptable. And what it is, you know, I've been in Congress now 12 years, and a lot of people, members of Congress, are afraid to talk about these things, so they just sort of go along. And it is extremely frightening that we're not dealing with these medical issues in a rational way.
Really, in my mind, Congresswoman Diana DeGette of Colorado has nothing to do with the debate around whether or not a woman should have the right to choose an abortion. This is an assault, a gratuitous assault, it seems to me, frankly, on the rights of, by and large, the rights of women. It's you know, this is a subset of the mentality that says get back in your place.
Well, you know, for many years I've been saying the same people who are against abortion, many of them are also against birth control. I wrote a book about this last year, in fact. I think I was on your show talking about it, and it's called Sex, Science, and Stem Cells Inside the Right-Wing Assault on Reason.
Yep.
Because the dirty little secret in Congress is that the attempt hasn't just been to ban abortion. It's been to ban birth control access, international HIV, condom access, and on and on and on. And this is what's really so disturbing. And we're going to have a big job ahead of us in the next Congress trying to reverse some of these things.
Yeah, this is where, in my opinion, it's time for us to have, again, a national, as we did in the 70s, a national dialogue about, you know, from a legal point of view, how do we collectively as a society decide when life begins? And let's just clean this up and have this conversation and get it over with once and for all.
Well, and also, how do we prevent unwanted pregnancies so we reduce abortions to begin with?
Right.
How do we have a good HIV/AIDS policy so we reduce HIV infection. I mean, it really is a public health debate.
Good public, exactly. We just have 45 seconds left. Congresswoman DeGette, I'm curious, are you in the short list for Senator Salazar's seat? I think you'd make a great senator from Colorado.
Oh, well, you're so sweet. I certainly am looking at it. I've talked to the governor. I've run some numbers. And what I really have to decide, Tom, where I can be better placed, in the Senate as number 100 in seniority, or in the House as chief deputy whip in the Democratic leadership and vice chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee. I'll be making my decision soon, but it's a tough and challenging decision. It's a great honor to be considered, as you can imagine.
Because the Senate gives you a whole new level of powers, but on the other hand, you've been in Congress long enough to have developed some really strong and solid abilities there.
Right, and I'm in leadership in the House. So.
Right, so as a member of the House leadership, it's got to be a really tough decision. Congresswoman Diana DeGette, the DeGette.house.gov is her website, DeGette.house.gov. Congresswoman, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, and have a great holiday.
Thank you, and happy holidays to you as well. It is 16 minutes past the hour on the Tom Hartman radio program. We'll be covering a little bit more of the news here of the day and picking up your phone calls at 866-303-2270. Melissa Etheridge also is going to be with us in a bit.
This is the Tom Hartman program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Do you have tax problems? Here's the solution, Tax Masters. It's that simple. Tax Masters will help solve your tax problems. Do you owe back taxes? Are you being audited? Have several years of unfiled returns? Is the IRS calling or sending threatening letters? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at Tax Masters can help today. Call 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to TXMSTR.com. Again, that's TXMSTR.com for more information. Tax Masters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. The folks at Tax Masters have helped many good people just like you. Call Tax Masters right now, 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to TXMSTR.com. Tax Masters will help solve your tax problems.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evenings 8 to 11, AM 620 KPOJ, 620KPOJ.com.
When you think of having it all, just think up north, just downriver. With easy access to Portland without the hassles of city life, the Port of Kalama is a perfect place for your business to flourish. Kalama is close, yet near natural grandeur. Recreation and business-friendly tax benefits await. The Port of Kalama offers all the superior facilities your business needs to thrive and a quality of life without comparison. The Port of Kalama, where business lives. Visit portofkalama.com.
The holidays are a time to celebrate with family and friends, but don't forget, it's also a time when cops will be cracking down on drunk drivers. It doesn't matter who you are or where you drive. If you drive drunk, you will get caught and you will get arrested. So go to parties and have fun this holiday. But don't forget that cops will be out in force. If you get drunk, do not get behind the wheel. Over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hi, this is Rihanna, and you've probably heard my music on the radio lately. Do you know there's a great new website called ratethemusic.com where you get to hear and rate all kinds of great new music before anyone else? And it's absolutely free. Log on to ratethemusic.com today. When you do, you'll be letting radio stations all over America know exactly what you want to hear on the radio. And you'll be sending the message to top record label executives too. Now you have a choice in the music business. It's called ratethemusic.com.
Here it is, Christmas Eve, and unlike me, you probably finished all your shopping months ago. That doesn't mean you still can't get something for yourself. Well, today only, Sleep Country is offering preview year-end clearance sale prices on selected 2008 Simmons, Sealy, Beautyrest, and Posturepedic mattress models. Not only that, but today only at Sleep Country, when you purchase a Simmons Beauty Rest, Spring Air Back Supporter, Sealy Posturepedic, even Tempur-Pedic, and the Sleep Number Bed, you'll receive a $50 gift card to McCormick & Schmick's seafood restaurants. And since it's Christmas Eve, Sleep Country is closing at 3 p.m., so get to Sleep Country now. Get preview year-end clearance sale prices on last year's brand-name mattress models and a $50 gift card to McCormick & Schmick's seafood restaurants with the purchase of selected sets. Well, gotta go. I got some shopping to do. A $50 gift card and preview sale prices at Sleep Country. No wonder they say, why buy a mattress anywhere else?
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, troubles will be out of sight.
And happy holidays to you and yours. It's Christmas Eve today. We're in the middle of Hanukkah. Hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. We've had to cancel Christmas here in Portland. I think a couple of our kids are going to make it over, but Louise injured her ankle, and we've been snowed in, just absolutely snowed in. Haven't been out of the house since Thursday of last week. That's just amazing. Just absolutely amazing. Anyhow, crazy stuff going on out in the world out there. Our crazy alert. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's like, watch out for bugs. Watch out for bugs is the lesson of the story. Yes, bugs as in insects. In Finland, police found a stolen car. They had no clues as to who stole the car. So looking around inside the car, they found a mosquito with a belly swollen red with blood. They got the mosquito. They took the blood out of the mosquito. They did a DNA test on it, and it matched the DNA of a local car thief. They tracked the guy down and busted him. So, yeah, be very careful if you're a criminal, I guess. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Your thoughts on the day. David in Orange County, California, listening on K-Talk. Hey, David, what's up?
Hi, Tom. That's a great story. Thanks a lot for the intelligent dialogue, as always. I just wanted to comment on the conversation you were just having about the pharmaceutical law that's being passed where people can use their religious discretion.
It's not just pharmaceuticals. They can withhold information. They can refuse to provide services. They can refuse to ring up your purchase. They can, pretty much anything. It's like, it's wild.
That is like total insanity. I think the law should be that people who have any of these kind of objections should not be put into a position where they can dispense or make these decisions.
Well, that was the law up until 2 days ago.
Yeah, well, it's a perfect fitting end to a completely retarded administration that's, wants to put us back into the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
And, it's like asking somebody who's nonviolent to go into the front lines of a war. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, it's, well said, David. Thank you very much. And absolutely. AC, is that Armin in Florida?
Yes, it's your old friend.
Hey, Armin, you are my old friend. How are you?
I want to wish you a merry, merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. And the same to you and your wife.
Thank you so much, sir. And to everybody else that may have a different belief system, I want to wish them all a merry and happy, politically correct holiday.
Whatever it may be. Well said. Thank you, Armin. It's always nice to hear from you, and I appreciate it. I truly do. And we're in the sixth year of our show, and Armin was listening to us all the way back in the very beginning when we were on IE America Radio Network and on Sirius, and about 25, 30 stations back in the early days. A lot of stuff in the news. I just want to touch on some of these things. This in particular troubles me. Dick Cheney, or Cheney, I guess, is, according to Chris Matthews, how he actually pronounces it. And he kind of likes the idea that all the rest of us mispronounce it. One more layer of anonymity or something. Dick Cheney is not just bragging about all the crimes that we, you know, up to this point about the, you know, the crimes involved with the Iraq War, and I don't know that it's a crime telling Pat Leahy that he should go bleep himself, but, you know, things like that. But now he has admitted that he was involved in outing a CIA agent during time of war. Dick Cheney has admitted that he committed treason. This is right up there, literally, with Benedict Arnold. If these were revolutionary times, or frankly, I would say pretty much any other time in American history, you would have the Vice President of the United States at the very least being impeached and perhaps prosecuted to the point where he would be spending the rest of his life in prison. We're talking about treason. We're talking about outing a CIA agent, and he didn't just out Valerie Plame. Valerie Plame was the head of a company, Brewster Jennings, this phony front company that had offices all around the world that was offering essentially to sell weapons of mass destruction, or the precursors for same, to terrorist groups. And so you had terrorists from all over the world going to Brewster Jennings' offices around the world saying, yeah, I'd like to buy a detonator, I'd like to buy some anthrax or whatever it is. Excuse me. And this is how we were keeping track of who the real threats were. And when she got outed, now we know by Dick Cheney, because he has come out and now admitted this, when she got outed, all around the world, there were CIA officers and CIA agents who were involved in this company, this phony front company that she was the head of, that she had traveled around the world and seen these people. People knew her name, Brewster Jennings, and the name of this company as well. These people, in many cases, may well have been executed. They may have been murdered. They may have been kidnapped. We don't know because the Bush administration won't tell us. But Dick Cheney put at risk the lives of CIA officers and agents around the world when he committed treason, and he is now bragging about it? What is going on with this country? How bad is this administration? This is terrible. 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
And welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. And Melissa Etheridge on the line with us. MelissaEtheridge.com, her website. Hey, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for all your wonderful music over the years, too.
Aw, that's the easy part. Thanks.
It often decorates, auditorily decorates our home and our car. Or you do, actually. I wrote an op-ed a week or so ago that went up on Common Dreams and Huffington Post and whatnot, called Three Cups of Tea for Rick Warren, in which I pointed out that when I'm forgetting the guy's name right now, who wrote Three Cups of Tea, but Greg Mortensen was his name, as I recall. When he went back into these communities in Pakistan that were Taliban-controlled, who viewed us as the enemy, one of these towns where he had been nursed back to health, he built schools for them, and he's built more than 60 schools, and particularly for their girls. They have so embraced us now that they've basically run the Taliban out of that area. And you contrast that to just 100 miles south of there, where we're dropping bombs on the Taliban, where they all soundly hate us. And I suggested, you know, maybe we should learn a lesson from how Hamas took the West Bank, you know, by feeding people and running hospitals and schools even though they're a very anti-democratic institution and, you know, nasty terrorists, that reaching out to people works. And you had an experience with Rick Warren, and I wanted to hear your story of that.
Yeah, very similar in that sort of spirit. And, you know, we had just been through the awful experience of Proposition 8, especially here in California, and I, you know, made some comments about that and was just really disappointed and kind of banging my head against the wall going, what's going on? Because I feel like as a society, we are definitely moving forward. You know, the different votes on, you know, same-sex marriage equality has, you know, the margin is getting smaller and smaller. So I know we're moving in the right direction. I was disappointed when California wasn't quite all the way there yet. And then when I heard the selection of Obama, I was not familiar with Rick Warren, but I just started to hear all the, oh, no, this guy's a real evangelist and the blah, 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 and all that sort of thing. And I thought, oh, that's crazy. Why would Obama do that? You know, and I kind of, but the more I started looking into it, I went to this guy's website. I said, well, gosh, he does a whole lot of work for the world. Okay, you know, so he's the hate gay kind of guy. And then, boom, I ended up being in, we were doing the same Muslim Public Affairs Council conference, and we were in the same room. And I said, oh, great. Well, now I have to come face to face with this. And this is my own choice to reach out instead of answering back in hate or fear. You know, I think that's the difference between this administration, the last administration, this century, the last century. It's not about us and them and the differences and I've got mine and you can't have yours now. It's about how can we all get together on this, because it's these differences that are allowing these bigger, much more damaging to our environment and our society, these big, huge issues to come down upon us because we're all fighting with each other.
Yeah, you make the point in your op-ed, they don't hate us, speaking of gays, they fear change. And maybe in our anger as we consider marches and boycotts, we can consider stretching out our hands. There are some, and I think we have to acknowledge this, who actually do, who are, you know, real, genuine, hateful bigots.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And the rape of this lesbian woman yesterday or the day before in San Francisco really illustrates that. There is a real terrible problem out there of that. But my sense of Rick Warren is that he's not in that camp.
Completely. The man, I reached out to him. I said, in the spirit of unity, let's have a conversation. He called me. We had more things in common than not. I truly believe that most people who just are trying to live a good life here, trying to get by, trying to do what they can, they don't hate me. They fear, they only are holding on to what they know, and we're sort of just hurtling toward the future, and all these changes are happening, and this whole concept of marriage to them and what, you know, society looks like is changing, because it is changing. And that can be scary.
Although, and I don't think either one of us want to be defenders of Rick Warren, particularly, at least on this issue. I mean, he is doing some good stuff with global warming and HIV and things like that. But he's on the record and has said many times that the biggest threat to marriage is not gay marriage, it's divorce. And I don't hear, at least in the United States, I mean, I remember I was in Ireland many years ago. In fact, one of my first trips to Ireland must have been the late 70s. I've seen a billboard of a woman and a child, and there was a tear in the woman's eye, and it said, vote no on Proposition 7 or whatever it was. And when I got into Dublin, I said, you know, what's the deal with all these billboards? And they said, oh, they're trying to legalize divorce.
Yeah.
It was against the law in Ireland at the time. But I'm not hearing calls from the Christian right to criminalize divorce.
Yeah.
You know, if they really want to save marriage, that's the place to start.
Right.
I mean, if they want to do it by force of law, right?
Well, I think as a people, we get used to there being the other,
yep.
Whether that was the immigrant, whether that was the other race, whether it's the gays, whatever that other is that has to be kept out so
right.
we can stay normal
right.
or safe. That's what's changing. That's the biggest change in this paradigm, I think, is there's no more other. We're all in this together, and we got to start realizing that real quick.
Yeah, and you know, that's a tribal instinct, a human, I'd say even mammalian, you know, chimps do the same thing, bands of chimps, you know, they have their territories. And so at a certain level, we have to acknowledge that that instinct to look at other people who are different from us in any variety of ways and say, that's somebody else, that's an other, that that's something that we can't strip out of human nature. But it becomes pathological when we say, okay, that's somebody who's different from me, and therefore I'm going to harm them, I'm going to deny them the rights I have, I'm going to, you know, when we discriminate, I'm going to declare war on them, you know, Hitler, we're going to exterminate them, whatever. That's when that normal and healthy human instinct becomes pathological. And the flip side of it is when we look at the other and say, oh, that's the other, perhaps I should reach out and know more about them.
Yes, that's when the change starts to happen. And he's getting as much flack as I'm getting for doing this, because those on the extreme that need to be able to look and be angry at those other people on both sides.
Right.
They're saying the same things on both sides, you know. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, he rather famously, day before yesterday, I guess, posted a little 20-plus minute rambling talk on his own website about these issues, in which he professed to, you know, not hate gays, and love, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and repudiated his incest comments. I think that this was not a response to people like you and me on the so-called left, but the gay community, which you're part of, but rather I think he was talking to the right wing, because he's within his own church, he's getting an enormous amount of flack for being up there with Barack Obama.
Being up there with him and then hanging out with me. And, you know, so this guy, a lot of people are like, oh, Melissa, how can you go, you know, behind enemy lines and, you know, whatever. And it's like, no, look, this is the only way change happens. And, you know, at this point, people are like, oh, you're just being duped by him. I thought, well, if he indeed turns around and starts, you know, spewing hate, then we'll all see him for that he's a liar, you know,
yeah.
and that's only bad for him.
Right. That works, too. We're talking with Melissa Etheridge, the songwriter, singer, activist, melissaetheridge.com, her website, and about her op-ed, The Choice Is Now Ours, regarding Rick Warren and the whole thing with Barack Obama. Melissa, what's your sense of the Prop 8 debacle? It seems to me that, first of all, this would not have passed without the Mormon Church dumping tens of millions of dollars and lots and lots of door-to-door Mormon volunteers into California. But my sense of it is that it was an aberration, and it's one that if it's not corrected legally in the next few months, Jerry Brown is trying to challenge it legally, will probably be corrected in the polls within the next few years.
Yes, that's
is that
exactly
your sense as well?
That's my sense. And in that day when, you know, Prop 8 passed, I was stunned. I thought, okay, now there's a reason that this is passing. And seeing the reaction come up in the society, in our country, in around the world to this, especially thinking that, well, California, it's like people were expecting us to move forward and we didn't. I can only see that this will then become a federal issue. I feel very confident that Jerry Brown, that the Supreme Court and the legislature of California will come through with equality, you know, equal protection for my family and equal protection for same-sex unions and marriage. I think that will happen, and I think that it will keep snowballing or it will just keep growing. And this is something that will right itself in a couple of years, and we're having the debate now, which is good.
Yeah, I agree, and we're seeing it all over the world. I mean, Mexico and Canada have both now legalized gay marriage, same-sex marriage. So I mean, it's like, come on, let's get with the rest of the world. Melissa Etheridge, melissaetheridge.com, her website. Of course, her music is ubiquitous. You're brilliant. You're a marvelous artist and a great human being. Thanks so much for being with us today. I wish you the very happiest of holidays.
Thank you all for all that you do. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Melissa. Great to have you on. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Do you have tax problems? Here's the solution, Tax Masters. It's that simple. Tax Masters will help solve your tax problems. Do you owe back taxes? Are you being audited? Have several years of unfiled returns? Is the IRS calling or sending threatening letters? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at Tax Masters can help today. Call 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to txmstr.com. Again, that's txmstr.com for more information. Tax Masters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. The folks at Tax Masters have helped many good people just like you. Call Tax Masters right now, 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to txmstr.com. Tax Masters will help solve your tax problems.
Are you waking up with Carl Wolfson and friends?
These are less popular suggestions. Abraham Lincoln.
6 to 9.
The Obama's first dog, what name it could be.
Promise, because he promised the girls and he promised us.
Elephant eater.
How about lipstick?
How about rogue?
You've got to have southpaw. I'd like to give it a local name and name it Mutt Safino, the weather dog.
It's Carl Wolfson.
As Abraham Lincoln said.
Morning 6 to 9. AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Guys, discomfort and chafing from wetness-related friction can hit any time. Get relief and prevent it too with Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder for your feet and Body Powder for your, you know. Whether you're working out or just holding down the couch, you're a guy. And unlike baby powders, Gold Bond's got the medicated formulas to fight itch, odor, and wetness. Plus, it's got that cooling kick that lets you know it's working wherever. Keep it cool with Gold Bond Medicated Foot and Body Powders. It's a guy thing. Use as directed.
Do you think I should get a new camera? My old one doesn't take great pictures.
Okay, but make sure you get a top-rated model with 8 megapixels.
Like this Sony or Canon for $149?
Well, those are great choices, but I wouldn't spend $149 for 8 megapixels.
Why?
Because video only has them for $99.
That sounds right for me. But what about camcorders?
Well, the hot choice right now are hard disk drive camcorders. They're small and they hold up to 7 hours of movies.
And they're $399?
Not at video only. They've got hard disk drive camcorders for $299.
$99 cameras and $299 camcorders? Let's go over to Video Only and check these out before we buy, or
we'll be sorry.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or computers, but you will find the best deals on HD TVs, Blu-rays, cameras, camcorders, and home theater systems. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
In Jansen Beach, Clackamas, Beaverton, and Salem, Video Only.
Tis the season of giving, but to Volvo, giving isn't a calendar event, it's a philosophy. Like when we invented the revolutionary three-point seatbelt, Volvo gave away the patent to all car manufacturers simply because it could save lives. These days, people still need all the peace of mind they can get. So this season, Volvo is giving their customers a $750 holiday gift card with the lease or purchase of any new model. Because with all that's on people's mind this holiday season, we wanted to give you one less thing to think about. It's the Get Together with the Volvo Season of Giving event, and it's our simple way of saying, have a happy and safe holiday season from your friends here at Volvo. Life is better lived together. Volvo, for life. During the Get Together with the Volvo Season of Giving event, lease a 2008 Volvo XC70 for $379 per month for 36 months. $26.99 due at signing. Call 1-800-480-9012 or visit your Portland area Volvo retailer for details. This event ends January 2nd.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Happy Hanukkah greetings. That the brother of Sacha Baron Cohen, also known as Barat. Can't remember his brother's name right off the bat. But in any case, it's strange stuff going on. Our Twilight Zone alert. This is a... Boy, is that loud, isn't it? Sorry about that. This is a plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills thought he was doing the right thing, I guess. He was taking the fat he got from his liposuction patients and putting it into his biodiesel car, his biodiesel Lincoln Navigator, and powering the thing. And he called it LipoFuel. He even had a website about it. He was bragging about it. Well, it turns out that's considered medical waste, and it's illegal to power a vehicle with medical waste in the United States. And so his website has been shut down. He is no longer practicing, and he may be in a whole world of trouble. Maybe, you know, maybe they could make an exception. I don't know. I have no problem with using liposuction. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Jeff in Costa Mesa, California. Jeff, you want to go back to the story I was talking about, Dick Cheney committing treason and confessing to it in outing a CIA officer.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. Merry Christmas. And,
thank you.
Christmas Eve. And, yeah, I truly think that, you know, as you were saying, that, you know, had this been at a different time, while at war, you know, there would certainly be consequences. I actually think it's a lot more superficial. I think if he had a D for Democrat next to his name, he would have been impeached quite some time ago. And at that time, probably then gone further, as people were calling for anyone who questioned the president in public, treasonists, and that they should be arrested and imprisoned and then followed through with the fullest extent of the law, which in treason at a time of war is death penalty. Dick Cheney, if he had a D next to his name, the Republicans would have impeached him for certain. And that goes for any one of them. Condoleezza Rice, Rumsfeld, Bush himself. These people are all obviously as guilty as sin of war crimes and, frankly, crimes against humanity.
Yeah. And let us remember, you know, Benedict Arnold was a general in the U.S. side before he went over to the British side.
Absolutely.
And
this is Cheney. He's being so bold right now as to kind of, you know, release the pressure valve a little bit. So just like they've done for 8 years. So when Fox's echo chamber begins, it'll be, well, this isn't new news. And if it was really something, people would have done something a long time ago. The man has admitted to war crimes on live TV. And I'm with Jonathan Turley. I am just absolutely out of my mind that every person in this nation who is a free thinker isn't just at their wit's end and up in arms rioting in the streets for these people to be held to account based on the fact alone that that was their platform when they ran on to get into office. A new era of accountability. They've been held accountable for nothing. And right. That pretty much leads to things like Plexico Burress, who's never been held accountable for anything in his life, been an all-star forever. You'd think he'd know you shouldn't take a loaded weapon in your sweatpants into a public place. If you don't hold people to account, they don't learn life lessons, and we are doomed to repeat them. If Dick Cheney was a Democrat, the lawful, honorable thing would have been done. He would have been impeached, imprisoned, and executed as a treasonous war criminal.
Okay, well said, Jeff. I'm not sure about the executed part. I'm more of a life in prison kind of guy, but yes. And I think that he's getting these things out there right now because he wants his crimes on the record before Bush pardons him. Mark my words. We'll see. John in Glendora. Hey, John.
Hey, Tom. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you. And the same to you.
Hey, I want to hear your opinion, get your opinion on, first of all, you hit on it before you came to me, was that why is he all of a sudden confessing all these things that he you know, denied in the past?
Right.
And if indeed this is treason, how in the world can Bush pardon treason? And also, maybe do you think he's confessing this because he's been in the hospital quite a bit for heart problems. Maybe he was told he doesn't have much longer to live, and he's trying to come to, you know.
Not a chance, John. The ability of criminals to rationalize their own guilt is absolutely mind-boggling. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, when I was the executive director of the Salem Children's Village, salemchildrensvillage.org, by the way, if anybody's charitably inclined right now, we had, for example, we had a kid, his first, I can't give out last names on the radio, obviously, but his first name was Tony. He came into the program 7 years old and probably weighed 60 pounds, maybe 50. His brother had been starved to death in his parents' basement. He was in the process of being starved to death when neighbors detected that his brother, something terrible had happened to his brother. The police came in. I talked with his parents. His parents were going through the criminal prosecution process. I talked with one of his parents. Their statement was, and as if they really believed it, we were trying to discipline these kids. They were out of control behaviorally. We were simply trying to discipline them. The ability of criminals to rationalize their behavior, particularly when you're talking about sociopaths and people with narcissistic personality disorder like Cheney and Bush, is virtually unlimited. It's just virtually unlimited. Will in Anaheim. Hey, Will, just a minute here before the break, before we got to wrap up this hour.
Real quick then, truth teller. I wanted to say hello again. It's been a long time. I still say Nazi-like fascists. This is everything they had planned all the way through. They're as happy as they can be.
I don't think that they planned it all. I think that they've been grabbing opportunities as they came along.
Yeah, could be. Also, did you get the shirts, or did you look at me funny when I gave them to you in Denver during the convention? I saw you at the bookstore and gave you two Freedom Underwear shirts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Merry Christmas,
well,
dude.
Thank
Registered
you, Will.
Trademark.
Merry Christmas in advance. Yeah, thank you. That's great. Thank you, Will. And coming up today, by the way, in the next hour, we're going to be talking with my old friend, Rabbi Michael Lerner, about what does Hanukkah mean and, well, all of the holidays for this time of year for progressives. He's the chair of the Network of Spiritual Progressives. And also in our third hour, Santa Claus is going to drop by and ask me if I've been naughty or nice. I guess from the Bush point of view, probably naughty.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you the day before, well, it's the day before Christmas. It's Christmas Eve, actually. It's a holiday in and of itself, I suppose. And we are in the midst of the Hanukkah holidays and all sorts of other holidays. I get a note from Paul here, one of our listeners, must be listening to the local show on KPOJ because I mentioned this morning. As you all know, Sean Taylor, our executive producer, broke her ankle about, it must be a couple of months ago now, and went through a couple of surgeries as a result of it. She was out walking her dog at night, lives in a floating home community up on the Columbia River, a different river than we live on, but a similar kind of house, and so took the dog up on land to do his business and slid down the hill and broke her ankle terribly and in several places. And Thursday or Friday of last week, Louise slipped in the house here on a rug on a hardwood floor, and boom, down she went. And we don't know if her ankle's broken or sprained. It looks like it's just sprained, although it's starting to blacken down around the bottom. We have not been able to get out to get her an X-ray. In fact, she had an appointment. She had two appointments this week to do so. Literally could not get out. So that's going to have to happen probably on Monday. But Paul sends this note. I just heard you mention yet another lower body mishap involving a female close to you. I think you owe it to the poor women in your life who have not been mauled in any way to let them know something's amiss. I've been turning over my head for at least 5 minutes now, and I've come to the obvious conclusion that Higgins must be behind it. He's very close to you. He considers you his property, as cats are wont to do, and seems like the type of animal that would remove those who stand in his way. I'm just saying, food for thought. Yeah. Higgins actually does that. I think that's one of the reasons why he attacks anybody who comes into the house. But probably a better common denominator is floating homes that move around in the wind. But who knows? 866-303-2270, our telephone numbers. And we were hoping to have Rabbi Michael Lerner with us, an old friend of mine. He lives in Berkeley, but we have not been able to track him down. So
Perhaps there's something else going on. Ralph in Massachusetts. Hey, Ralph, thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening to WHMP. What's up?
Well, I wanted to make the point that everybody's talking about Rick Warren.
Right.
And nobody's talking about the remarkable man who's giving the benediction. And that's the Reverend Joseph Lowery. You may know him.
Mm-hmm.
He's co-founder with Martin Luther King of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and was the president of it for 20 years.
Yes.
He's 87 years old. He's a retired preacher. He favors gay marriage.
No, he doesn't, actually. And he was on television yesterday saying that he favors civil unions. He's opposed to gay marriage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which frankly was very disappointing to me, and I'm sure many other people who saw him on TV saying that, because, you know, marriage is a contractual thing. You know, and the definitions of it have changed both at law and frankly in a variety of the world's religions over the years. But the bottom line is we're talking about the legal status of it. We're talking about the contractual side of it. It's got nobody's trying to litigate the Catholic Church's position, for example, on whether or not you can get married after you've been divorced, or for that matter, whether you can get divorced.
Yeah.
So Joe Lowery, no, what he said on TV, I forget which show it was on, but I watched it with my own eyes. As I recall, it was last night. He said that he is opposed to gay marriage. He's in favor of civil unions, which, by the way, is Barack Obama's position as well.
Yes.
So, you know, at least there's some consistency there. But
he's also for gay preachers.
Yeah, yeah. See, I think that what we're seeing here, Ralph, is the glacial evolution of society. It's what Melissa Etheridge was talking about, that society is evolving and growing, and these are the same. You know, it reminds me very much of the civil rights movement back in the 60s, which I'm old enough to have lived through and in some ways participated in. I was more involved in the anti-war movement. And you know, it takes time for a society and a culture to change, tragically, particularly when there's gross injustices being committed and at hand. But that change is here and it's happening. So, Ralph, thank you very much for bringing it up. And frankly, thank you for the opportunity to mention, you know, what's going on with Joe Lowery, because, it's what it is. Dave in Garden Grove, you're a little more concerned about this.
I am indeed. First time I have to say, you are my go-to man. When I'm talking to a conservative who I think can be swayed, I always refer them to your program on KTLK in the morning.
Well, thank you.
I really, really appreciate what you do. I am unconvinced by Pastor Warren's supposed repudiation of his incest comments and so forth. You know, he leads a megachurch, and megachurches run on big money. And this has been the whole gay issue has been a big money raiser for the evangelical right for a very, very long time. And his comments, they get parroted by the ditto heads. You know, 5,000 years of, in every culture, it's been a man and a woman. Well, that's not true, but because he says it, they parrot it. But to go beyond that, the people who are prone to hatred, you know, very fearful people, and violent people take this as a cue that it's okay to perpetrate violence on gay people.
Yeah. Don't you think, though, and I'm very uncomfortable even being marginally perceived as defending Rick Warren on this, because he's completely out of my sphere of simpatico, with regard to this issue. But nonetheless, that said, he, at one point, it was saying there's no such thing as global warming, and now he's one of the strongest advocates for doing something about global warming. He, when he started his megachurch, had nothing to do with AIDS, HIV, and in particular in the United States as well as in Africa. Now he is one of the leaders on that in the Christian movement in the United States, and has become so aggressively. When he started his church, poverty was one of the issues that he preached, but basically he was preaching redemption. He was preaching the standard Christian line of, you know, accept Jesus and all is going to be well, end of discussion. And now he's one of the major and more outspoken people on the Christian right about issues of poverty in the United States and around the world. This is a man who has apparently changed and grown. And I would submit to you, Dave, that the entire evangelical movement, you know, the National Association of Evangelicals, which is no, I mean, this is the large umbrella organization, last year came out with a consensus statement saying that evangelicals have to do something about global warming and about the environment, because that is God's commission to evangelicals in the, you know, in Genesis, about, you know, having dominion over the earth. It's really about having responsibility for the earth at a certain level, and that they're blowing it. Don't you think that this is a movement in flux and in change? And perhaps if we can reach him in a positive way, he could be a leader of that.
You know, that, I'm sure the change is happening. It does call in, to me, it calls into question how thoughtful he was in coming out with these pronouncements to begin with, and how much of it is based on political expediency, or, you know, just the expediency of the position that he's in and what's going to appeal to his market. It really is about marketing, I'm convinced.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, but I think his incest comment, frankly, you know, with BeliefNet, which has been played repeatedly, probably was one of the few times he said that. He might have been saying what was deep in his heart, and probably was. But I think that there's a certain amount of ADD there, too. He just blurted it out, you know, without carefully thinking about it, and which doesn't forgive it and doesn't justify it.
Well, as we're finding out with Cheney, I think blurting things out when you're in a position of power can be very dangerous.
Yes, and hopefully Rick Warren is learning that lesson. Dave, thanks a lot for the call.
Sure thing.
I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Frank in Los Angeles. Hey, Frank, what's up? Got a minute before the break here.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand why people are so naive to believe Republicans, because their modus operandi is that they say one thing and then do another.
And in this case, you're talking about what topic? Club.
And, you know, this administration has incorporated all the dirty tricks of Nixon and Reagan, and they improved on them, and that's what you end up with, an uncontrolled administration who is actually bankrupting the country and putting us in debt so there's no money left for the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And
now we have Cox, who's the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, saying, hey, it wasn't my job to overlook the securities business. It's like, what?
Oh, they did away with regulation. You know,
it wasn't so much that they did away with them, they didn't enforce them, Frank. They turned the other cheek, I guess.
What about the accountability of all this money that we gave out to these banks?
Yeah, and the banks are telling us
about that.
Yeah, the banks are all, thank you, Frank. The banks are all telling us to take a flying leap, you know. You want to know what we did with your money? We'll tell you what we do with your money. Shove it in your ear. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying to us. I understand Michael Lerner's going to be with us after the break. Stick around, and then we'll be getting back to your phone calls. Tom Hartman here with you. TomHartman.com if you want to drop into our live chat room. We are live on Christmas Eve here on Air America Radio.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Do you have tax problems? Here's the solution, TaxMasters. It's that simple. TaxMasters will help solve your tax problems. Do you owe back taxes? Are you being audited? Have several years of unfiled returns? Is the IRS calling or sending threatening letters? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at TaxMasters can help today. Call 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to TXMSTR.com. Again, that's TXMSTR.com for more information. TaxMasters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. The folks at TaxMasters have helped many good people just like you. Call TaxMasters right now, 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to TXMSTR.com. TaxMasters will help solve your tax problems.
Ed Schultz.
The biggest story on the face of this earth is America. What do you really think of your workers?
Noon to 3.
The partisan divide is alive and well. The attack on the working folk of America is now in full gear. What's the difference between the governor of Illinois selling off a Senate seat,
the Ed Schultz Show,
and some southern Republican senator protecting his backside for the next election?
Noon to 3.
By cutting the head off American auto manufacturer.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Here it is, Christmas Eve, and unlike me, you probably finished all your shopping months ago. That doesn't mean you still can't get something for yourself. Well, today only, Sleep Country is offering preview year-end clearance sale prices on selected 2008 Simmons, Sealy, Beautyrest, and Posturepedic mattress models. Not only that, but today only at Sleep Country, when you purchase a Simmons Beautyrest, Spring Air Back Supporter, Sealy Posturepedic, even Tempur-Pedic, and the Sleep Number Bed, you'll receive a $50 gift card to McCormick & Schmick's seafood restaurants. And since it's Christmas Eve, Sleep Country is closing at 3 p.m., so get to Sleep Country now. Get preview year-end clearance sale prices on last year's brand-name mattress models and a $50 gift card to McCormick & Schmick's seafood restaurants with the purchase of selected sets. Well, gotta go. I got some shopping to do. A $50 gift card and preview sale prices at Sleep Country. No wonder they say, why buy a mattress anywhere else?
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
This week only, you can get the new TomTom 1-125 for under $100. It's the GPS that works right out of the box, and at just $99.95, it's the perfect holiday gift at the perfect price. TomTom, go confidently.
So you love listening to the radio. At work, at the park, at the gym, at your kids' play. Well, all thanks to the iHeartRadio app on your iPhone. Download it for free at iHeartRadio.com. We think you'll heart it a lot.
Every time I feel my baby kick, I sing. You don't understand. I never sing. I'm not good at singing. I'm the only person I know who's been booed off a karaoke stage. But that was before I was pregnant. Today, I'm a singer with a captive audience of one. She doesn't boo me. She never will.
We know how it feels. We're the March of Dimes. Find out how we can help you have a healthier baby at marchofdimesbaby.org.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back. Merry Christmas Eve. Happy third day, fourth night of Hanukkah. And Rabbi Michael Lerner with us, the Network of Spiritual Progressives, spiritualprogressives.org, publisher of, or editor of Tikkun Magazine, T-I-K-K-U-N.org, that website, and the rabbi of Beit Tikkun Synagogue in Berkeley and San Francisco, and my old friend, Rabbi Lerner, welcome.
Hi, Tom. It's good to be with you.
It's great to talk with you again.
You too.
You had an absolutely marvelous Hanukkah and Christmas greeting that you sent out to people who subscribed to your mailing list, I guess, talking about the Maccabees and you know, the whole thing of, you know, what is Hanukkah all about, but also the cynical realists in Judea. Some of them, among them, many of the priests charged with preserving the temple, argued that Greek power was overwhelming and that it made much far greater sense to accommodate it than to resist. That this is, you know, much as, for example, Robert Funk and Elaine Pagels have recast Jesus as a revolutionary. His turn the other cheek was, you know, a challenge to, you know, hit me with the clean hand rather than the unclean hand, so you violate Roman law. That this was also a statement of defiance.
Absolutely. You know, it's hard to recognize now, after so many years of distortion of both Christianity and Judaism, that both of these traditions were rooted in revolutionary consciousness and in struggles against the largest imperial powers of their time. The Jesus story puts Jesus going fleeing to from Herod, who was a Jewish king, but who had been put into power by the Romans. And the Maccabees were the struggle against the Greek imperialists who had conquered the area. And they had many supporters amongst Jews as well. Many Jews were saying, let's just go along with the powerful and compromise with their way of looking at things, because their way of looking at things, after all, works. And, of course, the proof that it works is they've got power and we don't. Yeah. So it's that the same struggle has been going on today. It's always we're continually confronted with the issue of how much do we ask for? Do we really challenge the ethos of selfishness and materialism that's rooted in the capitalist order, or do we accommodate to it and try to make small changes within it because we want to be realistic? And both of these holidays, and certainly Hanukkah, is about challenging the realists, challenging the cynicism that says that you have to go along with what is, because they have the power and it's so unrealistic and it's going to hurt you if you struggle to change it. And Hanukkah says that there's a miracle is possible when the spiritual energy of the universe, the transformative power of the universe, becomes ingredient in us as human beings. Then in that case, the power of the people becomes greater than the man's technology.
And in that context, I mean, one of the most interesting to me, or actually fascinating parts of your message, you said Jews seeking to fit into American society grabbed on to this path of the holidays, not really being religious, but only a time to celebrate, and thus embrace Christmas in a way, in the one way they could, buying presents for non-Jewish friends and neighbors and celebrating Christmas in a non-sectarian American holiday. But this well-intentioned move to fit into American society only helped the capitalist secularists and unintentionally further undermined the ability of Christians to hold on to the religious and spiritual intent of their holiday. In a way, this is almost like Bill O'Reilly's shtick, except you're saying this is why spiritual progressives of the Christian faith have urged Tikkun and the Network of Spiritual Progressives to not celebrate the holidays collectively as an undifferentiated holiday season.
Right. Exactly. And I actually was on O'Reilly a few years ago when he started with his the
war
liberals and the Jews stole Christmas. And and I said to him, no, you know who stole Christmas is the capitalist order. The transformation of this, of what was a very beautiful message in Christmas, into a frenetic season of purchasing goods and feeling that your value depended entirely on how much you could give, how much you could afford to give to others. And that has perverted this whole holiday season. For Jews, that has meant that Jews have turned Hanukkah into a mini Christmas to try to fit in with the larger society. And, of course, I understand, particularly for secular Jews who don't see any larger religious significance, why they would want to do that. Because, after all, wherever I go, I mean, I've been up this morning in various stores to buy food and whatever, and every place I go, they say, happy, you know, Merry Christmas. Well, I'm not Christian, but if it's so people want to fit in, don't want to be stuck out. So they say, okay, the way to be that is to buy. But unfortunately, that then undermines the struggle that's going on in the Christian world between religious Christians who want to reaffirm the vision of hope that Jesus represented and that baby in the manger represented on the one hand, and on the other hand, the vision of Christmas as simply a time of mad purchasing of goods.
Brilliant. Your insights are always so extraordinary. Rabbi Michael Lerner, Tikkun, TikKun.org, spiritualprogressives.org. Michael, it's always great talking with you. Happy Hanukkah.
And happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you. Indeed. Thank you very much. We'll be back with your calls 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yee-haw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Christmas everywhere, in the hearts of all people, both near and afar. Christmas everywhere. Feel the love of the season wherever you are, on the small country roads lined with green mistletoe, big city streets where a thousand lights glow. Let it be Christmas everywhere.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Solstice, Happy Festivus, Happy Spaghetti Monster Day. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Mark in Dallas. Hey, Mark, what's up?
First time, long time, Tom.
Thank you, Mark.
You were talking about a word to describe the practices of Rick Warren and his followers, and I would say that word would be heterosexism and heterosexist.
Well, that's an interesting one.
Because, you know, it's kind of like it's an ism, like racism, sexism, right, so on and so forth. And, you know, marriage is not about sexual orientation. Marriage is about love, commitment, and duty.
Yep.
And, you know, this political, social, and spiritual violence against gay people really has to stop, because this country cannot take our time and our talent and then treat us as second-class citizens. It's unworthy of the idea of our country.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Mark. And that's my point, is that it feels to me, now maybe I'm being overly optimistic. I mean, we had this gang rape of a lesbian day before yesterday, I think it was in San Francisco, four guys apparently punishing her for her sexual orientation. But I remember in the 1960s, the violence that for, you know, obviously for 400 years, but was still being perpetrated. And gays have been the object of violence for as long as we've had civilization. So this is nothing new to people in the gay community either. But the violence that was being perpetrated on people in the African-American community. And I remember as a kid, literally as a kid, like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, I would go up to northern Michigan and spend the summers with my cousins who lived in a little town, Newego, and many of their very kind of rural friends. And kind of the stereotype, many of these kids were the stereotype, not my cousins so much, but some of their friends, the stereotype of the, you know, the guy with the gun rack in the back of the pickup truck kind of thing. And the language that they would use to describe African Americans was pretty outspoken and pretty explicit. I mean, you know, a lot of the use of the N-word and things like that. It was just very, very common then. And the undercurrent of racism, it was just kind of broadly accepted even. And I would bet you that none of those people are talking like that anymore, or very few of them. And I think that many of them.
This is going to be an evolution of an incremental and inevitability for the rights of gay people. And we've come a long way in a short period of time, but it's the fact that we even have to do this, because it's not, you know, us getting married is not going to change any of those heterosexual fundamentalist Christians' way of life at all. It's not going to make one difference at all in their
If it has anything to do with marriage, it's going to strengthen the institution of marriage, because more people are participating in it.
They feel more of a part of the community. They're going to feel more more a part of, and that's what we should be doing. And they're going to feel more like helping and reaching out instead of being, well, why would I want to help you? I'm not included.
Right. And so the challenge that we have is how to reach out to these people in a way that doesn't cause them to become reactive and push back, but instead causes them to say, you know, maybe we should consider this. And I think, frankly, the way to do that is to expose the ugliness. When Martin Luther King, when those civil rights marchers allowed the water hoses and the dogs to be turned on them, what they were saying is, hey, Higgins, knock it off. Sorry, I've got a cat here. It's attacking the door. Throw the phone at him. That what they did was they exposed the hatred and the ugliness, and everybody in America saw it. And we all collectively said, oh, my God, is that us? And right. I think that we're at one of those teachable moments right now as well. And so, you know, in net, I think that we're going to look back on this 5 or 10 years from now and say, you know, that was not necessarily a good decision by Barack Obama, not necessarily, you know, a great debate to have, but we have really moved ahead a long, long way. You know, I sure hope. Mark, I got to move along. Thank you very much for the call. Great to hear from you. Weldon in Minneapolis. Hey, Weldon, what's up?
Fröhliche Weihnachten, Herr Hartmann.
Ah, fröhliche Weihnachten auch.
Und ein glückliches neues Jahr.
Schönen Dank. Und für du auch. Und für sie auch.
I'm not a Christian anymore. I'm a Rastafarian, but I can still wish others a happy Merry Christmas.
In German with a Rasta accent.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. I know you don't like to hear about other people's programs, but Rachel Maddow last night had a thing about Rick Warren and how her guest made the comment about how there's only two reasons that Rick Warren sees justification for divorce, and one is abandonment, and the other is infidelity, and abuse is not one of them.
Right, I saw that too.
So that tells me that there's more, this is not just about a gay issue, this is also fundamentally flawed thinking from the right-wing Christian sect.
Yeah, I agree. And from the right-wing Muslim sect, and from some within the fundamentalist Jewish community, although that's a far, far tinier fraction. But and probably some secularists as well who simply believe that men should have power over women, period, end of discussion. And, yeah, I did see Rachel's show last night. And my only injunction on mentioning other people's shows on my show is I don't want people to be trashed on my show because they're not here to defend themselves. So, if you want to celebrate Rachel's show on my show, I have no problem with it. I think she's wonderful. And I didn't know that. You know, and stuff keeps coming out about Rick Warren. I didn't know a week ago when I wrote my op-ed piece that he did not allow gays to join his church. Although, in retrospect, there's a certain amount of logic to it. I should have thought it through. But there are, what comes with fundamentalism, and I guess it's one of the reasons why it's called fundamentalism, is that they go back to the core, the starting points. And in many cases, those starting points or those cores are toxic in and of themselves. Or
yeah.
They simply reflect another time when life was very different, mores were very different, standards were very different. And it's the fundamentalists are always the last to come, to come into the new age, as it were, into the light, into the current times.
One other thing I'd like to sneak in just before you cut me off is is that I would like to see you address the Palestinian issue more in 2009. I think it's a travesty what's happening in the Gaza Strip, and I would also like to see guests like George Galloway and Noam Chomsky, whose wife just died recently.
Yeah, day before yesterday.
I'd like to see them featured on your show once in a while.
Okay. Thank you, Weldon. I appreciate the call. In fact, Noam Chomsky's been on the program, and George Galloway has been on the program, I think three times in the last two or three years, so... Yeah. In any case, yes. And the Palestinian, I refer often to how blindsided the Bush administration was when they said, let's have the Palestinians use the tool of democracy. Won't that cause them to vote in people who are just like us, who have our values? And the answer is no. They used the tool of democracy to vote in the people who were feeding them, who were running hospitals for them, who were educating them, who were providing care and things for the elderly. And who is that? Hamas. It's the bad guys. Oh, man. Jeff in Northern California, listening on KPHX online. Oh, I see. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Yeah, because I'm in California. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was Higgins that just heard me out.
That was Higgins. He just jumped up on my lap. He's done scratching the floor, the wall near the door.
That's good. Listen, something I've been actually meaning to call somebody about for a while now, you or Stephanie or Ed Schultz or somebody, because I just haven't gotten around to it, is I think we are being undisciplined in throwing around the word treason. And I noticed it, why I'm calling today, because I noticed it towards the end of your last hour. You had at least one call that talked about it. And, as heinous as the things that, to take two examples, Karl Rove and Dick Cheney, have done, it seems to me that within our current legal structure, it's not treason. Treason is, there's a reason treason, as I'm sure you're aware, being somewhat of an expert in this area, there's a reason treason was included in the Constitution as the only crime defined in the Constitution. And And the phrase is, shall consist only in levying war against them or in hearing to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. And I think what happens is that people focus on that aid and comfort line, and that gets translated, and this is what happened with Ann Coulter in her book, Treason. Anybody who criticizes what the government is doing, say, what Bush was doing was therefore giving aid and company to our enemies.
Yeah, this is what was said of us in the 60s who were protesting the war in Vietnam.
Exactly. And I think we may be doing the same thing when we throw around the word as easily as we do regarding even people like Dick Cheney and Karl Rove.
And yet it was George Herbert Walker Bush who said that that outing a CIA officer is, as I recall, he said treason. Maybe he said traitor.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's the colloquial usage of the word treason, which I think is what we're talking about.
Right.
And then there's, you know, what it is in a formal sense. And we have a tendency to conflate that. That caller that I was thinking about in the last hour talked about how, well, and the penalty for treason during war is, you know, is death.
Execution.
Well, the only time you can have treason is during war.
Yeah.
And, in fact, the penalty isn't death. And a good example there is Tokyo Rose. And I hear the music.
Yeah.
I'll let you go.
Okay. Your point is well taken, Jeff. And let me cogitate on that a little bit. Let me just rephrase this. Dick Cheney has confessed to a crime, to a felony far greater than having sex with an intern.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Do you have tax problems? Here's the solution, Tax Masters. It's that simple. Tax Masters will help solve your tax problems. Do you owe back taxes? Are you being audited? Have several years of unfiled returns? Is the IRS calling or sending threatening letters? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at Tax Masters can help today. Call 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to TXMSTR.com. Again, that's TXMSTR.com for more information. Tax Masters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. The folks at Tax Masters have helped many good people just like you. Call Tax Masters right now, 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to TXMSTR.com. Tax Masters will help solve your tax problems.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
If he had gotten into politics to steal, he certainly picked the wrong time because we're broke.
Randy Rhodes.
There's nothing left to steal. You know, why are they asking, is he crazy? Just look at his hair. What's on the outside is pretty good indication of what he's thinking on the inside.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
He actually considered appointing himself to the Senate seat because he was afraid that he had sucked every corrupt dollar out of Illinois, so he wanted to go national.
3 to 6 on AM 620 KPOJ.
The weather has been terrible, and you may not have bought your Honey Baked Ham yet. So, as a gift to you, Honey Baked Ham will take an extra $10 off an 8-pound ham or larger between now and New Year's. Beaverton Town Square, the Water Tower at John's Landing, Salem Center, Vancouver Mall, Clackamas Town Center, and Lloyd Center. Take an extra $10 off. And for your convenience on Christmas Day, the Beaverton Town Square and the Water Tower at John's Landing stores will be open till 2 p.m.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
Don't miss the 13th annual Les Schwab Invitational presented by Fred Meyer Friday, December 26th through Sunday the 30th at Liberty High School in Hillsboro. 16 teams from Oregon, Washington, California, and New York. The 2008 Les Schwab Invitational includes 4 days of tourney play as well as slam dunk and three-point shootouts. Tickets on sale beginning December 26th, 8 o'clock at the high school box office.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Bring the holidays home. Choose local. It's more important than ever to support our local economy. The Sustainable Business Network of Portland encourages you to choose locally owned businesses this holiday season, like Classique Floors, the best little floor store in town at 141st and Southeast Stark. When you use locally owned businesses like Classique Floors, more money recirculates in our economy, more jobs are created, and you preserve the quality of our neighborhoods. For a list of locally owned businesses, go to sbnportland.org. And remember, choose local this holiday season.
During the get-together with Volvo Season of Giving event, lease or purchase a new Volvo XC90 and get a $750 holiday gift card. Call 1-800-480-9012 or see your Portland area Volvo retailer for details. This event ends January 2nd.
This morning, the North Bank was unexpectedly besieged by kittens. We go live to the scene.
There were kittens everywhere. My daughter, she tried to run, but it was no use. They were too cute.
Meanwhile, in the U.S., Congress has declared Texas the largest dog park in the world. You have been listening to Global News Hour.
Pets make the world a better place. End petlessness at the Oregon Humane Society.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Holiday lights are everywhere, because it's that time of year. All my friends are talking about Santa Claus, but he won't be coming here. We'll have lights in the window, they're the candles on my menorah. We have a very special holiday, it's called Hanukkah. Oh, happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy, 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 happy Hanukkah.
It is 9.5 minutes before the hour, and strange goings on here. The world's untidiest car was full of junk, magazines, old clothes, and even bits of furniture that people could barely see the drivers roared down the motorway near Dusseldorf, Germany. The driver, who has not been named by police, has been banned from taking the car on the road again until it passes a tidiness test. At first you'd say, well, yeah, that's just the Germans being tidy, but they said it's so full of junk the woman's face was smashed up against the windshield as she drove. One of the policemen said, I'm sure this will make most people feel a whole lot better about leaving the odd candy wrapper lying around in their car. Yeah, I think so. 866-303-2270, our telephone number here on the Tom Hartman program. Mark in Camarillo. Is it Camarillo or Camarillo, California?
Camarillo.
Camarillo, California. Thank you, Mark. What's up?
Hi. Good to talk to you. I enjoy your show and your sweet reasonability.
Thank you.
Very quick comment. I'm an ex-cop from Northern California originally, and I'm constantly amazed by your expressions of amazement at the actions of the Bush-Cheney administration. I mean, I dealt with people like them every day. A polite term would be sociopath, and you know, we expect them to act as sociopaths act. They can't help themselves. It's who they are.
Yeah, I think I told the story on this show, although I did a three-hour morning show for KPOJ before I came on the air, so I might have told it on that story, of when, and interrupt me if I did, when I was the executive director of the New England Salem Children's Village. SalemChildren'sVillage.org is the website, and Christmas contributor, holiday contributions gratefully accepted there. 100% of it goes right to the charity. And we had, I mean, just kids who were just trashed by their parents. I mean, we had one little kid named Tony who came into the program. His brother had been starved to death by his parents, and they were in the process of starving him to death when the police intervened. And the ability of these folks to rationalize their crimes is unlimited. His parents said that they were simply trying to discipline him. And I think at some level they actually believed that, him and his
brother. Oh, yes. It's a rationalization, and of course, that's a conversation maybe for another day too. That perhaps we need to redefine what crime is, because most criminals are just not capable of controlling their behavior, and healthy people don't commit antisocial acts. Period.
Yeah, and I think that I agree that we're describing Bush, Cheney, and not just them, the enablers that they've surrounded themselves with in the White House.
What? Absolutely. Well, what I actually wanted to address was the issue of Rick Warren. I'm a Jew, and I grew up as a Jew. I've been practicing Buddhist for the last 8 years or so. But, you know, one of the issues that I don't think has been addressed about Rick Warren, actually two of them, one is basically that, you know, there are an awful lot of people who are not Christian who live in this country and are good citizens. And it's, you know, and talk about change. I was hopeful that there would be some significant change. But what I see is, you know, here I grew up in Orange County, California, predominantly Christian, predominantly Republican community, had the privilege of living in Nashville, Tennessee. Same thing again. Currently, actually, I'm visiting out in California, but currently living in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is stridently fundamentalist Christian Republican community.
Yep.
And so I've always been kind of marginal in being someone who is not a Christian. And it was very difficult for me growing up in school to notice the establishment of Christian ceremony in the schools, particularly around Easter and Christmas time, and feeling excluded. And here he's doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. The same thing again. He's excluding everyone. And moreover, there are more thoughtful choices that could have been made. It's not like Rick Warren is the only Christian minister who could have been tapped for this job. He could have been invited. But for gosh sakes, I mean, what is Obama thinking? To me, I can't even see Rick Warren as a credible person. To me, he's just a cheap huckster, opportunist. And you know, I can't see why Obama doesn't see that.
Yeah, well, I think what Obama is looking at is that this guy is the leader, is one of the probably five most powerful Christian evangelicals in the country, that the Christian evangelical movement has between 20 and 40 million members or participants, depending on how you define them, that his books, not just that he's a best-selling author, but that his books and his courses are actually used by churches all over the United States, his Purpose-Driven Life book, that in some ways it's even argued that that book transcends religion, that it's, you know, it's about having purpose in your life, not just religion, although I would say it's still a religious tract, basically. And I'm not saying this by way of defending Rick Warren. I would have, frankly, been much more comfortable with a less controversial choice. But this is the choice that Obama has made and that his team has made. And I can't imagine that he's going to change it, frankly.
Well,
I think that we should use this as a teachable
moment. It's
an
exclusionary choice. It not only is a slap in the face to gays, but it is a slap in the face to Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and everyone in this country who is not a Christian.
Yeah.
Because the fundamental belief of Christians, correct me if I'm wrong, of fundamentalist Christianity is that if you are not a Christian and if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to hell.
Well, that's certainly the belief of the fundamentalist wing of the Christian church.
There's
that is certainly what Rick Warren believes.
That is almost certainly what Rick Warren believes.
I agree with you. And so, you know, this... And yes, it would have been nice to have a Joseph Lowery type, a more inclusive, reaching a broader picture kind of guy in that slot. But we've got Rick Warren. So the question I think that we really have to be looking at is how can we use this to reach out to his constituents?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I don't know what we can do about it. I would have thought that with all the blowback that there's been, that hopefully Obama could have been influenced
to change his mind.
But, you know,
he's
showing himself to be a lot like Bush in that regard, and that kind of scares me a little bit. But I hear the music, so
it's okay.
There you go. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mark. I appreciate the call. Yeah, I'm not sure he's showing himself to be like Bush. I suspect he would say he's showing himself to be more like Lincoln. That is, that he can deal with people of different points of view. Up next, Santa Claus?
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby.
This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, it's Christmas Eve, so what more appropriate guest to get on than Santa Claus? Santa? Is that you?
Hello.
Hey.
I'm here.
So you are Santa Claus. You're actually the Stone Mountain, Georgia's official Santa Claus, Atlanta, Georgia, for the last 18 years?
Well, I just finished my 19th season,
and
that is at Stone Mountain Park in Georgia.
That is wonderful. Yeah, I've been there. We lived in Atlanta for 12, 13 years.
Oh, really? And, well, good.
Yeah, and so
you know it well.
May I mention your name and your books?
Of course.
Okay, we're talking to Ed Butchert. He is the official Santa Claus in Atlanta, Georgia, for the last 19 years now. He also operates a year-round ministry and workshop called Friends of Disabled Adults and Children, refurbishing wheelchairs and medical equipment for those in need. And he's the author of the books The Red Suit Diaries and its sequel, More Pages from the Red Suit Diaries. Revell Books, R-E-V-E-L-L Books.com is the website for that. And Santa, tell us some stories of your Santa Clausing.
Well, I got a million of them, almost. The books have some of the very few, actually, of the stories that I've had with kids. Not all of them at Christmas time. A lot of them were around other places. And I've had over 190,000 kids on my lap over these years. And I have collected the best of them in these books and the next one to come.
Can you share one with us?
Pardon?
Can you share one story with us?
Of course, but first I want to ask you if you've been a good boy.
If I've been naughty or nice.
It
depends on whose point of view you have, I think.
It always is. The answer to that question always depends on your point of view, doesn't it?
There you go. I suspect from the point of view of the Bush administration, I have not been nice. I think from the point of view of the Obama administration, I have been. So I guess I'll leave it at that.
Well, we have to pick our battles, don't we?
There you go.
But I do want to compliment you on that wonderful thing you did back in March when you took all the food to Darfur. That was a wonderful thing that you did, and I'm very proud of you for doing that.
Well, thank you. That was with Christian Solidarity International, by the way, and another great charity, and their website is easily Googled. I think it's...
Well, your station and your neighbors there in Portland should be very proud of you, because that was a wonderful thing to do.
Well, thank you, Santa Claus. Now, a story from your book and...
Story from my book. Yeah. Well, I guess people ask me what my favorite story is, and I guess that would have to be the young man who took his time answering my standard question. I asked him, have you been a good boy? Mm-hmm. Just like I asked you.
Yeah.
And he had a little different approach to that answer. Most of the kids immediately say, yeah, I've been good, sure, just like you did. I've been good, yeah. And then this little fellow took a different approach. He took, he starts tapping his chin and looking up at the ceiling, and he's grunting. He said, And he went on and on, and I was just about ready to say, will you hurry up, kid? We got people waiting here. And all of a sudden, his face lit up. He stopped tapping his chin. He stopped grunting, and he turned, and he looked at me with his eyes all bright, and he said, well, I had a pretty good August.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Now, you...
That is a good one. He cycled through his whole year to find something good he could say about himself.
I guess so. Kerry Smith wrote a beautiful and touching article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last year, about a year ago this time, about your loss of your wife 4 years ago at Christmas time and your continuing as Santa Claus. You want to tell us, talk to us a little bit about that and what lessons of Christmas lessons may be associated with that, or is that something you'd rather not talk about?
Well, no, I was very fortunate. My sweetie had been sick for a long time. She had had some near brushes with death earlier, and she had pulled out of them. And I just assumed she'd pull out of this one. But she told me just about a week before she did die that she didn't think she could do it again. She said, "I'm too tired. I don't have the energy or the strength." She said, "It won't be a miracle finish this time." And I said, "You can't do that. You got to survive. I can't go on without you. I can't do Santa without you." And I was doing Santa at that time, obviously. But she said, "No, you have to go on. The kids love you too much, and they depend on you, and the parents love you too, and you have to keep going, and just keep on going, keep on being Santa, and you'll find another Mrs. Claus." And I said, "No way." But she was right. It's been 4 years now, and I have found another Mrs. Claus, and life is going on. But she has motivated me to continue in more ways than I can imagine. She was an incredible lady, and I love her to death.
But life
does go on, and it's hard to see that at the time. It's hard to make that adjustment at the time. It took me a long time. It took me over 3 years to really begin to feel like I was whole again.
Right. And she died right around Christmas time, didn't she?
She died on Christmas Day.
Yeah. And you've been being Santa for 19 years continuously. And I'm assuming that you have a natural big white beard and gray hair and all that kind of thing.
Oh, white. I do. I don't have any hair, but I do have a big white beard.
That's marvelous. Ed Butchard, Butchart, is the author of The Red Suit Diaries and now its sequel, More Pages from The Red Suit Diaries, The Official Santa Claus for Stone Mountain, Georgia. Ed, thanks for dropping by today.
Well, listen, my pleasure, and I want to remind all the kids to go to bed early tonight. And I know the weather's miserable in Portland, but don't worry, Rudolph will see me through.
There you go. Thank you, Ed. Good talking with you. And Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Robert in Seattle. Hey, Robert, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. This is Robert, your driver from Seattle.
Oh, the fellow who drove me back to my hotel after the last book signing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
hey, Robert.
Been in the hospital for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, Robert. I hope you're okay in the hospital there.
Well, I'm trying to get better, but it's been pretty tough here for about a week, and I've been trying to get a hold of you since around Thanksgiving, and just wanted to thank you for everything you do for America and all the people and helping Obama get elected. I appreciate your friendship.
No, thank you.
Merry
thank
Christmas.
You. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, and you'll be in our prayers.
I'll try and call you when I'm doing better.
Okay, good. Thank you, Robert, for the call.
And
Merry Christmas and get better, hey? Get better.
Thank you.
Thanks. Fern in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Fern.
Oh, hi, Fern. No, I'm Fern. You're Tom.
There you go. Hey, Fern.
I'm not too nervous.
Happy
holidays. Wow, thank you. And a big old bag of catnip for Higgins and blessings and joy of this return of the light to you and yours.
Thank you
for all you do. Yeah, I'm calling about the pastor whose name won't pass my lips because every time somebody says his name, he makes another nickel.
Yeah.
This is free publicity like people dream of. When I was part of the gay rights movement here in Portland back in the 70s, we'd encounter these people. And we try to figure out what was going on with them. And deep xenophobia explains a lot. But we felt that we needed to know our enemy and try to figure him out. And these people who cling to these churches or whatever have been told that that their ticket to heaven is punched. They're on the way. Their sins are forgiven because they believe, you know, whatever. And that lying, especially to homosexuals, they used to call us, Anita and the folks used to call us homosexuals. Mm. Lying is forgiven for them because they're trying to save our soul. And plus, we don't have souls or something, whatever they think. We always ended up going, well, we really don't understand these people, you know. But whatever the truth is, what the thing is, they can't be trusted. I don't trust them, and I don't care what they think either. I mean, you know, it's like, why would I ask them what they think?
You know, this whole idea of the there's actually in Christianity a word for it. Now, it's escaping my mind right now, but it's basically the justifiable lie. And it is so immoral. You're absolutely right, Fern. Thank you for sharing that with us and for the call. And happy holidays to you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Lionel with you. Most of you either have or know someone that has an inflammatory disease. You know, arthritis, asthma, allergies, diabetes, heart disease, sinus conditions, and even back and joint pain are crippling our country. There's an anti-inflammatory and pain reliever that has been prescribed by physicians for over 30 years in Europe and Asia. It's so effective, it's been used by Olympic athletes to deal with the pain and swelling from injury and surgery. Serrapeptase RX comes with an unconditional guarantee and has no known side effects or interactions with medications. Just $23.99 for a 2-month supply, and I want you to try it. Visit www.myairamericaradio.com or call 1-888-825-9199. That's www.myairamericaradio.com or call 888-825-9199. 1-888-825-9199 for Serrapeptase RX.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party. And it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Here it is, Christmas Eve, and unlike me, you probably finished all your shopping months ago. That doesn't mean you still can't get something for yourself. Well, today only, Sleep Country is offering preview year-end clearance sale prices on selected 2008 Simmons, Sealy, Beautyrest, and Posturepedic mattress models. Not only that, but today only at Sleep Country, when you purchase a Simmons Beautyrest, Spring Air Back Supporter, Sealy Posturepedic, even Tempur-Pedic, and the Sleep Number Bed, you'll receive a $50 gift card to McCormick & Schmick's seafood restaurants. And since it's Christmas Eve, Sleep Country is closing at 3 p.m., so get to Sleep Country now. Get preview year-end clearance sale prices on last year's brand-name mattress models and a $50 gift card to McCormick & Schmick's seafood restaurants with the purchase of selected sets. Well, gotta go. I got some shopping to do. A $50 gift card and preview sale prices at Sleep Country. No wonder they say, why buy a mattress anywhere else?
This week only, you can get the new TomTom 1-125 for under $100. It's the GPS that works right out of the box, and at just $99.95, it's the perfect holiday gift at the perfect price. TomTom, go confidently.
The weather outside is frightful, so why not stay inside and shop online for great half-price deals? All week long, go to halfpricethursday.com and find bargains on tanning, dining, family fun, and much, much more. Visit halfpricethursday.com to find the best deals in Portland.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level. And a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Christmas list. He stood in line and he shook like a leaf. He's only 5 and a half, going on 6. He said,
is it really Santa Claus? Really, really Santa Claus? Is that really Santa? Really, really Santa? Is that really Santa Claus? Really, really Santa?
Hope he thinks that's Santa Claus.
Is that Santa? Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Paul sends me an email. I'd asked if what's the proper salutation for the holidays for people who follow the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And he says, as a Pastafarian and avid reader of the Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, I feel it is my duty to inform you that the official holiday of SFMism is Friday. Thank you, Paul. Larry Scott is with us. He is runs the website VAWatchdog.org, the editor-in-chief, and Grand Poobah over there, one of the finest websites for veterans and veterans issues on the entire Internet, VAWatchdog.org. Hey, Larry, happy holidays to you.
And, well, Merry Christmas to you. And, by the way, I would to report that I have been a good boy, and that that is official, by the way, because just before we went on the air, I double-checked with my wife, Marie, and she says, yes, you've been a good boy, not just August, the entire year.
That's great. That's great. I notice over – that's really good. I notice over at VAWatchdog.org, you're talking about Dr. Phil. And it's interesting because just yesterday an article went flying by me that I shared with Louise about how Dr. Phil is a pretty aggressive Republican. Big funder and supporter of Republican causes. What's the deal with Dr. Phil?
Well, Dr. Phil finally decided to take a look at veterans issues here. And last Friday, he did an incredible program, a full program about veterans issues and problems with VA healthcare and with the benefit structure at the VA.
So he did something good.
He did an incredible program. He had a couple of families on there talking about their problems. He had Congressman Bob Filner, chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, was on the program, who said, right on national television, the VA comes to Congress and lies. They fake numbers, they fake reports, they come and lie to us. It makes our oversight job virtually impossible. Another interesting part of that program was Colonel David Hunt, who is a military analyst for Fox News, was on there. Now, Colonel Hunt in the last year has done a complete turnaround in his attitude, not only about the war, but about how the soldiers and older veterans are being taken care of. Colonel Hunt calls the VA's activities criminal and actually suggested there should be people doing the perp walk, as he said. It's an incredible program. I have all the segments posted up at VAWatchdog.org. All you have to do is go to the homepage, and the videos are all up on YouTube. You can take a look. Excellent television, and Dr. Phil has promised he will be following up on this issue in the future.
Now, Larry, here's a concern that I have, and you know, as Rachel would say, talk me down on this. That kind of language, this is, for example, when Canadians criticize their healthcare system, Americans, or for that matter, conservative Canadians, say, see, government-run healthcare doesn't work. Let's do
right.
away with it. Let's privatize the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
How is that show not the perfect setup for Republicans to say, see, we told you government can't do anything, right?
It is the perfect setup. But remember, every time there's a problem that a veteran has, it doesn't matter whether it's printed in the New York Times or the Washington Post or it's on Dr. Phil or on Fox News, that you're always going to have someone come out of the woodwork and say, it's time to privatize it, it's time to give them a card and let them go anywhere they want and do away with the VA. You're not going to see that happening because the members of Congress, people like Congressman Filner, over on the Senate side, Senator Daniel Akaka, who heads the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs, know that the VA healthcare system is one of the most incredible systems in the world, the best VA healthcare system in this country. It is rife with problems. Those problems have to be solved. It has to be funded properly. And so you're right. People will use that as a vehicle to yell for privatization. That just isn't going to work simply because the system is in place. It's really pretty efficient in the overall. and it just needs strengthening and it needs better oversight.
Okay. And along those lines, I guess, a federal judge has thrown out a second lawsuit against the VA?
Yeah, the Vietnam Veterans of America and their legacy organization, the Veterans of Modern Warfare, filed a lawsuit here a little while back asking a federal judge to mandate that the VA resolve all claims within 90 days of filing and 180 days on an appeal. This is kind of an interesting lawsuit, but we knew it was going nowhere simply because the federal courts had already ruled in other cases that federal courts do not have jurisdiction over a government agency. They cannot tell them how to do their business, that it is the responsibility of Congress working with the VA secretary to resolve the internal problem. So once again, another veterans lawsuit gets tossed out of the federal courts, but as it should have been, because they just don't have jurisdiction. We need better oversight.
Right. And Daniel Akaka has discovered some problems with the VA.
Oh, this is very interesting. About 12 years ago, if you go back to 1996, veterans' benefits were paid if a veteran died. Let's say a veteran died in July. His benefits ended the last day of the month of June. Well, in 96, Congress said, this isn't right. If a veteran dies in July or whatever month, benefits should be paid to the end of that month. Unfortunately, this legislation got overlooked. The VA never changed their payment system. For 12 years, the VA has been shorting widows and families of veterans who died by either not paying them the last month's benefit, or if they did, going back and collecting it, believe that or not.
So has Akaka got this fixed?
Akaka got it fixed. They're paying out the benefits. First check's going out, $24 million.
That's great. Larry Scott, VAWatchdog.org, the website. Larry, thanks for being with us, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, Tom. Merry Christmas to you.
We'll be right back with Ken Davis, speaking of Christmas and all the holidays right now. Ken, historian Ken Davis, coming up next.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, a we joyful and merry Kwanzaa, Kwanzaa. To a hip-hop all happy Kwanzaa, to we all who celebrate Kwanzaa, we wish you a Happy New Year. A we wish you a happy Kwanzaa, a hip-hop happy Kwanzaa, to all who celebrate Kwanzaa, we wish you a happy Christmas.
34 minutes past the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Kenneth Davis is on the line, don'tknowmuch.com, his website, and the author of the Don't Know Much books, many great books on American history. And Kenneth Davis, I have around here someplace, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, it just arrived a week ago, your newest book that looks like it's 200 years old. When I first looked at the cover, I thought, whoa, what's this? Can you tell me the title of it, please?
It is called America's Hidden History, Untold Tales of the First Pilgrims, Fighting Women, and Forgotten Founders Who Shaped the Nation. And Merry Christmas, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And Merry Christmas to you, Ken Davis. Children risking a visit from Father Spanker? Forget Santa Claus, Father Spanker?
This is, fortunately, we are not in France for so many reasons. Of course, in France, they have Père Noël, Father Christmas, and he was accompanied by Father Spanker. And Father Spanker, of course, Père Noël would bring the gifts to the good children, and Father Spanker would bring a spanking to the naughty children. So every culture has its carrot and its stick, and including a Christmas time.
I wonder why this never went any farther than France.
You know, that's a good question.
Or why it started in France, for that matter.
Or why it started. It had something to do with, it's a kind of obscure legend, but it has to do ultimately with stockings, of course, stockings in the sense of the stockings hung by the chimney with care, which really go back even further. Like everything that we know and cherish about Christmas, almost all of this stuff comes from pre-Christian times. And the shoes set out at Christmas time, which are generally done in many European countries, they set out shoes as opposed to stockings. But it goes back to an ancient Norse legend, which relates to the winter solstice, as a lot of these things do. And the children would put out their shoes filled with hay and straw, because Odin, who brought the light back on winter solstice, came riding across the night sky on his eight-legged steed. Does that sound a little bit familiar, an eight-legged animal riding across the night sky? But he would leave gifts for the children who set their shoes out with hay and straw for them. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're just bringing out that inner Viking.
That's interesting. My friend and author and psychologist, Steve Larson, a professor, actually, of psychology, Stephen Larson, written many brilliant books. He wrote the official biography of Joseph Campbell, Fire in the Mind, who was his mentor, was there for his wedding. He was there when Joseph died and wrote a book about him. Tells the story that apparently Joseph Campbell used to tell about how there is a relationship between these red mushrooms with white spots on them and reindeer being able to digest these mushrooms without dying of liver failure, and their livers process out the poison in them, and they pee the hallucinogen that is in the mushroom, and the Norwegian shaman would go around and look for, or sometimes encourage feed the reindeer these mushrooms and then collect the yellow snow, and it was one of their potions.
It was the one time you wanted to eat the yellow snow.
Yeah, and thus... This it contained dimethyltryptamine, a psychedelic that causes people. Terence McKenna wrote a whole book about DMT called True Hallucinations. It causes people to generally see little tiny midgets. You know, it's like the world, you know, the curtain between the worlds tears open and you see these little people. And so now we have this tradition of this guy in this red suit with lots of white spots and the little people around him and the reindeer, the eight reindeer, as you said. It's an old shamanic Norse tradition, is it not?
There are so many of these, and I have heard and read about the reindeer and the hallucinogen, and that's why perhaps people saw reindeers on roofs as well. But
flying.
But this legend of Odin bringing back the light is very much tied in, of course, with the solstice, and just about everything that we do around Christmas time relates in some way back to different solstice ceremonies in the ancient world. Of course, the most important of which was Saturnalia in ancient Rome, celebrated on the ancient Roman calendar on December 25th, and it was a week-long festival of candlelighting, gift-giving, and song-singing. Gee, doesn't that all sound vaguely familiar? Of course, by the time the Pope was powerful enough to make such decisions, he announced that henceforth, this is around the year in the 400s, it's Pope Julian, he announces that henceforth the December 25th will be the date on which the Mass of Christ would be celebrated. Yes, indeed, light was coming back into the world, but it wasn't the light of Saturn or Sol Invictus or Mithra or any of a number of other gods that the Romans worshipped, but the light that was being brought into the world through Jesus. And it was really brilliant marketing in a way. It was a way to bring over pagan converts, allow people to keep their traditions and rituals, but attach it to a Christian meaning. And here we are 2,000 years later, practically still celebrating it.
Yeah, and I've been in Israel in the winter and in the summer, and if I had to travel several days on donkey back to get taxed, I would not be inclined to do so in the winter. I mean, occasionally they even get snow there. The winters are pretty cold. Isn't there some evidence that the taxation time was in June?
Well, in Don't Know Much About the Bible, one of my earlier books, I discussed this, the fact that there's no record of Caesar Augustus issuing a worldwide census of course that would have meant for the Roman world. And the Romans were pretty good bureaucrats. They were pretty good record keepers. So if he had called for a census of the world. There is evidence of a census, a more localized census in Judea, typical of the area in which Jesus was supposed to be born. The problem with it didn't happen until about 6 years after Jesus is supposedly born. So that's a reminder that the Bible is not a book of journalism or history. It's a book of faith and, you know, has to be read that way. There are a lot of, kind of contradictory evidence in terms of dating. And that's why there really is no biblical date for Christmas. There's no biblical date for the year in which Jesus is born as well. So there's just a lot of legend and tradition that grew up around these stories, and certainly the December 25th date became a tradition in the 400s, as I said.
We're talking with Kenneth Davis, the historian and New York Times bestselling author of the Don't Know Much About series of books, Don't Know Much About History, About the Bible, etc., and his newest book, America's Hidden History, Untold Tales of the First Pilgrims, Fighting Women, and Forgotten Founders Who Shaped a Nation, Kenneth C. Davis. There was a time when Christmas was banned in the United States.
Yes, there was a real war on Christmas once.
Not a real war. Unlike not those a, Bill O'Reilly hallucinates.
not a phony war, but a real war on Christmas. And surprisingly, it was the Puritans of Massachusetts who banned Christmas, public Christmas.
Oh, this would be for the same reason that the fundamentalist Baptists, when I grew up in Michigan, where you know every Christmas they'd come out and protest Christmas.
Well, this was the same reason that Oliver Cromwell banned Christmas in England, and it was a two-part. First of all, these Protestants of that time, we're talking about the mid-1600s, of course, these Protestants, strict Puritans, first of all, they weren't that very festive to begin with. Their idea of a good time was 3 hours in church being told they were hopeless sinners. But
Didn't they ban singing as well?
They knew that all of the traditions, the holly, the ivy, the mistletoe, the songs, the candlelighting, that all of that was very pagan. So they didn't like it for that reason. But there was a more important reason to Puritans, at least. They thought it was too Catholic, too popish, they would have called it. And they really, there was this tremendous animosity towards Catholicism in colonial America and well into the early part of the American Republic. I mean, after all, there's a reason that we didn't elect a Catholic president until 1960. It was tremendous antipathy towards Catholics in a very Protestant America for a very long time. It's something I discuss, actually, in America's Hidden History to some degree. It's kind of one of those dirty little secrets of our past that wasn't in our textbooks, the tremendous hatred towards Catholics, Spanish Catholics, French Catholics. The nationality didn't really matter. It was the Catholicism that they didn't like. And that's why the Puritans banned Christmas in the 1650s.
Very interesting. We have a holiday coming up the day after tomorrow. That's Boxing Day. Or is it the day after the day after tomorrow?
It is it's the 26th, so
yeah,
the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
So we're all confused about dates these days. But, Boxing Day is the 26th.
Boxing Day, yeah. And this is something that most Americans are relatively unfamiliar with.
Yeah,
But the British know it well.
Yeah, we've heard about it, but we don't quite understand it, thinking perhaps it has anything to do with bringing the boxes back to the store to return the things you don't want, or maybe lacing on the gloves for those relatives who have been hanging around too long. But in fact, what it means is that in the days when the aristocracy, the nobility in England celebrated Christmas, the help did not. The help had to work. The servants had to work. So the nobility and the upper classes would celebrate Christmas and give each other gifts, but they would give the help, the servants, the next day off, and they would give them a box with something in it, a gift. That's when they would get their gifts, on the day after Christmas, because it is St. Stephen's Day. St. Stephen, first martyr in the Christian church, best known from the song, Good King Wenceslas went out on the Feast of Stephen, and Wenceslas is famous for his generosity towards the poor. He gives people meat and food and firewood. So part of Boxing Day is a celebration of that sense of doing nice things for the less fortunate, which in the case of the English once meant the aristocrats giving gifts to the help.
To the help.
Now it's a more generalized holiday in England and in Canada and Australia as well.
Yeah, fascinating. Kenneth C. Davis, the New York Times bestselling author of Don't Know Much About History and the whole series there. The website don'tknowmuch.com, his newest book, America's Hidden History, Untold Tales of the First Pilgrims, Fighting Women, and Forgotten Founders Who Shaped a Nation. I have it in my hands. Kenneth Davis, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you so much, Tom, and have a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Everybody be safe and warm and...
Thanks.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
In the bizarro world of neoconservative politics, controlling the message is important, but not as important as taking the truth out for a joyride. In fact, in the neoconservative world, the truth is irrelevant. Up becomes down, heroes become traitors, and drilling for oil becomes exploring for energy. This is the core of Cracking the Code, the new book by Tom Hartman. In Cracking the Code, How to Win Hearts, Change Minds, and Restore America's Original Vision, Air America radio host Tom Hartman explains the art and science of political persuasion and how the brain processes fear and emotion, the right-wing's messages of choice. Cracking the Code exposes how right-wing politicians recreate reality, spinning the truth to suit their agenda, But best of all, this book shows progressives how to tackle the propaganda head-on, how to push back against illogical logic, and how to effectively communicate the truth. Once you realize torture is now called enhanced interrogation, when the surge is indeed an escalation, and this endless occupation is being labeled a war, now you're cracking the code. Get Cracking the Code by Tom Hartman. Available at bookstores everywhere.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
Zoo Lights, presented by Boeing, is back at the Oregon Zoo. See the zoo transformed into a winter wonderland, aglow in a sea of a million lights. Animated animals, entertainment, holiday buffet, and the lighted zoo train make Zoo Lights Portland's premier family holiday event. Information at 620kpoj.com, keyword zoo. Support the Sustainable Business Network this holiday season. Experience the fun and fulfillment that comes from an authentic place, your own community, and choose holiday gifts from locally owned stores, restaurants, and service providers. Info at 620kpoj.com, keyword local. Don't miss the WorkSource Oregon Career Fair, Wednesday, January 14th, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Lloyd Center Mall. It's a great way to meet potential employers and educators from around the state all in one place.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
During the get-together with Volvo's Season of Giving event, lease or purchase a new Volvo XC90 and get a $750 holiday gift card. Call 1-800-480-9012 or see your Portland area Volvo retailer for details. This event ends January 2nd.
Later, much later, we heard something. We didn't breathe for listening. Then footsteps on the back porch, creeping, then more confident. After all, nobody was home. A hand closed on the knob on the screen door to the kitchen and found it latched. We heard a little sawing sound as a file began to slice through the screen wire. Grandma reached down for something in her sewing basket. Through the darkness, I managed to notice Grandma's rocker was rocking and she wasn't in it. She was standing over me. "Keep just behind me," she whispered. I followed her across the room into the kitchen. Now we were by the door and I heard the scuffle of heavy feet in there on the crinkly linoleum. Grandma turned back to me. Under my nose, she struck a wooden match with her thumbnail. She touched the match to something in her other hand. It sizzled. Then she leaned down and rolled it into the invisible kitchen. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book A Long Way from Chicago by Richard Peck. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
The odds of a child performing at Carnegie Hall? 1 in 73,000. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. To learn the signs of autism, visit autismspeaks.org.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you are just begun. So this is Christmas. I hope you have.
Hey, thanks so much to Louise Hartman, to my producer Sean Taylor, to Stephanie Whiteman, to Shelley Osterberger, to Marcus Hillman at Air America, to Sue Nethercutt, the folks in our chat room, Mike Toth, who does our audio archives on our website, to our affiliates, our sponsors, and to you for listening to our program. A program brought to you, by the way, in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act. You can learn more about that over at teamster.org.
But maybe I'm crazy.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe you're crazy.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe we're crazy.
Oh, maybe Robert Holding is. He's a British postman who was going door. He's 72 years old and was going to door delivering pot to his elderly peers as he was doing his... Oh, I'm sorry, he was a milkman. As he was doing his daily milk round, He said the cannabis was for elderly people who had aches and pains and were of a certain age. Yeah, not such a good idea, I suspect. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Devron in Seattle. Hey, Devron, what's up?
Hey, Tom, thanks. Just wanted to call and quickly, you know, think back on the past. I talked to you and, God, talk about a brain freeze, Senator, the weekly senator. On
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, can you guys, as two white men, vote for this black man? You guys, oh, man, that's small beans compared to what we're dealing. If he's our nominee, we're there, we're all in. And, you know, thank you for, you know, holding strong to your beliefs. I called you earlier and was, or maybe it was Mike, but, you know, just realizing with the gay struggle and everything. And I listen to a lot of rap music, and they're pretty crucial of the homosexual thing, as in, you know, a lot blacks are. But, you know, we can have our minds changed. When you say stuff like, you know, their plight has been longer than that of blacks and slavery, you know, that's some pretty heavy stuff and something to be thought about. And then I also learned about the...
Good point, Devron, because the Romans were taking slaves out of northern Africa back 2,000 years ago. Yeah, you're right. We shouldn't, and certainly I shouldn't say.
No,
you know,
I don't mean it like that. I mean it in the sense that you're right, Tom. Just like you were right about Obama's choice and this Reverend guy. You stick to your guns because people can learn. We can change our minds, and we can, you know, do better than what we're doing. I'm looking forward to a great year in 2009. Tom, you're a real inspiration to a lot of people out here. Thank you for having me into your home. I feel like I'm in your house. You broadcasting from home, man. One
yeah,
love,
you are.
Devron in Seattle.
Thank you, Devron, and happy holidays to you. Thanks a lot for the call. Nice to hear from you. Kathy in Long Branch, New Jersey. Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom, can you hear me?
I just fine. Crystal clear.
Really good, good. I have a really nice animal story to tell. Hopefully it will cheer some people up because I needed some good news. All right, I was watching CNN headline news, and apparently there was a dog that a golden retriever, two-year-old female dog, had been shot twice and left for dead in the snow in Minnesota. And if you Google dog shot twice, the story's there. Now, I mean, it was so heartbreaking to me. Well, which, you know, I love animals, and I know you do, and probably most of your listening audience does. So anyway, to make the story quicker, I was talking to my congressman about it, but at his office, a guy in there that works for him, and because we all love animals. And I was talking to him about it, and I said, I'm afraid to go Google it again because I'm afraid to find out. They named her Orphan Annie. And I was afraid to Google, and I told him, I said, I'm afraid she's probably dead. You know, the veterinarians, well, somebody found her and brought her, and they were working on her. And it was touch and go, but they were optimistic. So I was scared because I don't need bad animal news. So anyway, I was talking to – his name is Frank also. My congressman is Frank Pallone, by the way. I'm fairly lucky. But anyway, as soon as I got off the phone with him, I went to my computer, and there it was. Annie's going home. And so, in other words, the good news is probably a staff member or something. I mean, she apparently pulled through. I don't know who the home – I don't know what home she's going to. Probably, like I said, a staffer. Hopefully not the guy that shot her. You know, nobody's ever going to find that guy.
Yeah.
But why would you shoot a dog twice and leave her for deadness? I mean, it's a two-year-old golden retriever. They don't hurt anybody.
I know. It's
but
sad.
But it's a good news story. That's my whole thing. And
okay.
I'm going to send some money on Friday when my husband gets paid to help incur the cost because it's pretty extensive.
Good on
you, know?
Kathy. Good on you, Kathy. Thank you very much for the call, and happy holidays to you. Brian in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening to WLBY in Ann Arbor. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, earlier you guys were talking about sociopathological behavior and how Cheney or Cheney might be participating in it.
Yeah, I think narcissistic personality disorder is a more accurate description, but it close, yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, I studied psychology here at the University of Michigan, and it brought me back to the Milgram experiments, which were done in 1953, whereas if you have superiors or, like, people with uniforms on, I forget the exact details of it, and they're telling you to do something, people tend to do that. And so I think my point is that
if you get a couple bad apples at the bottom, that's not the end of the world. But if you get a couple bad apples at the top, that can just float down through the Milgram experiments. What are your ideas on that?
Yeah, well, and you're absolutely right. And in the Milgram experiments, they had people giving people that they thought were volunteers in an experiment
shocks,
right. And that were progressively stronger and stronger. And the shock machine was labeled, the top shock was labeled potentially fatal. And they were able to force people to give even that shock. I mean, it just got all, and the person who was, they actually weren't getting any shocks at all, but they were actors and they were acting like, oh my God, I'm in excruciating pain. And people just went stronger and stronger. We should do a whole show on that one of these days. Thanks for that. We're going to be off tomorrow and Friday to celebrate the holidays with our families. Hope you enjoy a special encore presentations of the Tom Hartman Program. Some of our best shows will be back live on Monday. So look forward to seeing you then. And don't forget, in the meantime, first of all, have a wonderful, safe, and happy holiday season. And secondly, don't forget, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. And pass along some happiness, too. We'll see you on Monday.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.